knew he was waiting for the spot?
Yes.
So you knew it wasn't your parking space?
Well, there's no name on it, Your Honor.
A parking lot showdown.
Mr. Fowler started to also pull into the spot, so we both kind of converged into each other.
But surrender.
I was telling him that, okay, I'm out of here, the spot's yours.
Wasn't an option.
He jumped in front of my car, he starts bashing on the hood.
Tell me how you got this lacerated knuckle.
Judge Judy. You are about to enter the courtroom of Judge Judith Scheindlin. The people are real. The cases are real. The rulings are final. This is Judge Judy.
25-year-old Lucas Torwall is suing college schoolmate Brian Fowler for denting the hood of his car during an argument over a parking space.
Order. All rise. It's case number 71 on the calendar, the matter of Torwall versus Fowler. Parties have been sworn in. You may be seated. Ma'am, have a seat, please.
Mr. Torwall, it is your claim that the defendant vandalized your car over a parking space.
Yes, ma'am.
Tell me when and where this happened.
This happened at San Diego Mesa College on August 23rd, 2010.
You a student there?
Yes.
What about you, Mr. Fowler? Are you a student there?
Yes, ma'am.
Did you have a class that day, Mr. Fowler?
It was the beginning of the semester. I was there for a meeting with the financial aid director.
Had you had your meeting?
No, that's what I was there for.
So what time was your meeting?
My meeting was, if my memory serves me correctly, it was at 2 p.m.
And where had you been coming from?
I had come from my house, ma'am.
What day of the week was it?
If my memory serves me correctly, if I'm not mistaken, the day of the week was Tuesday.
When had you met the financial advisor?
The prior week before that, on Friday.
When did you finally get to see the financial advisor?
I missed my appointment, so I saw her the following day.
It's all going to come back and get you, Mr. Fowler. You do understand that. I ask questions for a reason. Yeah. You were in school on that day for what, sir?
I had a class later that afternoon.
What time?
I don't remember what my class schedule was back then.
What time did this incident occur on the 23rd of August?
It was during midday. I don't know exactly what time in the day it was during prime time school hours, though, Your Honor.
But you had not attended your afternoon class.
I went to school early so I could get a spot, so I was trying to be responsible, you know, so I could make it to class.
Okay. And you did make it to class
yes.
That day. Why don't you tell me what happened, sir?
It was kind of towards the beginning of the semester, and I'm assuming like all other schools, it's
don't
very...
Don't tell me you assume.
Okay.
August 23rd, 2010, sometime in the afternoon, you were driving into school. You had to find a parking space. Let's pick it up from there.
Finding a parking space is very difficult, and so everyone's kind of cruising, looking for a spot, and finally I saw a car that was pulling out, and both the car and I, after it was done pulling out, would have been facing the same direction, and Mr. Fowler's vehicle would be making a left-hand turn into the spot, as where I would be making a right-hand turn. And so after the car had pulled out completely and started to pull off, I started to pull up behind him, and then at which point Mr. Fowler started to also pull into the spot, so we both kind of converged into each other.
Whose car was in the spot first?
As I pulled into the row of the parking spaces, I did notice that he had his left turn signal on. So he was there before I was. And basically, as we converged, we then both came to a full stop. He got out of his vehicle, approached mine. I stayed in my car. And
so you knew he was waiting for the spot?
Yes.
So you knew it wasn't your parking space?
Well, there's no name on it, Your Honor. You know, whoever gets there first gets there first.
I understand that there's no name on it, but he was waiting for the spot.
I understand. Yes.
Correct.
Yes.
Okay. So you were trying to get your nose into the spot before his.
Yes.
Is that what happened? Okay, so he got out of his car.
He got out of his vehicle. He then approached mine. I stayed in my car, at which point he got off. He immediately
started screaming.
Exactly.
It's my spot.
Very,
right.
Very aggressive. And started to come up towards my driver's side. And as he was doing that, he was already kind of yelling. I could hear him from inside my car. My windows were rolled up. I then rolled down my window, and he started yelling again. And he was practically inches from my face. I could feel all the spit that's coming out of his mouth and all
furious.
That.
He was furious.
Yeah, oh my goodness, yes.
Okay, that happens.
Yep. And
because you,
so
were doing the because you were doing the wrong thing.
Okay.
Okay.
Trying to get the class?
Okay. No, you were doing the wrong thing.
Okay.
He was waiting. You saw his turn signal on. You were trying to get his parking space. As you said, nobody's name is on the space, but you were doing the wrong thing. So far, I give you credit for acknowledging that he was there first and you were doing the wrong thing. Keep going.
And so at which point, we're both yelling back and forth.
But you were in your car.
I was in my car, correct.
Go ahead.
And so he was yelling at me and he was saying, hey, you know, profanities, and telling me he was there first and everything. And I told him, okay, you can have the spot, because I realized then that he's an aggressive guy. Usually, you know, whoever can pull into the spot usually gets it first, but... So I was telling him that, okay, I'm just gonna pull forward, I'm out of here, the spot's yours. And he said, no, I want you to back up so that I can pull in front of you. And so I'm like, hey, whatever. But everything is kind of going crazy, going fast, and you know, it's hard to keep track of what's going on, exactly what the words were being said. And so he then started to kind of slowly walk back to his car, and then I started to pull forward to just go ahead and leave the spot, not forward into the spot, but forward to get out of the way. And then at which point, I guess he saw me pulling forward, he jumped in front of my car. At this point, the parking spot's already behind me, and he jumped in front of my car, he starts bashing on the hood. And then, obviously, I stop because I don't want to run him over. He's bashing on my hood, and then he's like, back up, you know? So I was kind of stunned. I was like, I can't believe this is happening.
So that's what the case is about. You say he punched your car, exactly. Bashing on your hood. You want him to pay for the damage to your car.
Correct.
I'd like to see pictures of the car.
This is the overall damage, the dent's right there, and then it's kind of...
Well, it is kind of hard to see, but I can see it. Really, get up there. Is this a small car, Bird? Is that what he's referring to?
Yeah.
Okay, go.
What are you doing? So, like you said, it's really difficult to find a parking spot.
I don't care. I understand he was doing the wrong thing. You were there first. It was your parking spot. He aggressively was taking your parking spot. Let's move on from there.
So, I waited in my car to see what was the...
Now you're out of your car.
No, I didn't come out immediately.
I don't care immediately. I'm beyond waiting in your car. Now you get out of your car and you go over to his car.
Yes, ma'am. I go to his car with the intent to...
I don't care what your intent was. You go over to his car, and what did you do or say?
Before I could even say anything, he started yelling and cussing at me. And I was going to let him know I'm late for an appointment. I was here. Can I please have this parking spot that I was already here for?
Well, that's not the way you were saying it to him. I want to know, sir, you're going to tell me that you didn't punch his car, correct?
I didn't do that, ma'am.
Okay, so then it comes to whether I believe him or whether I believe you. So this is what I have a problem with, Mr. Fowler. You pulled out and went away.
I pulled out. No, I didn't do that.
Well, you didn't go to your appointment.
I pulled into the parking spot, and then I didn't want to see the financial aid director mad.
Oh, just a second. So he pulls out of the parking spot. You pull into the parking spot that you have coveted, because according to you, you actually followed somebody to the car. That's what you told me in your answer. Then you got out of the car when he tried to steal your spot. Look at all the objective stuff. You got out of your car in an aggressive way, shouted at him. He pulled out, giving you the spot. You pulled into the spot, and then you chose to leave, and you left school without keeping an appointment that you had made for financial aid a week before.
Yes, ma'am.
And you did that because you were upset. Well, I would have been upset if I didn't get the parking space, but you got the parking space.
Well, I was already late for the appointment, so I figured
why were you late for the appointment, sir?
Because he tried to take the parking spot.
No, you're talking about something that happened in 2 minutes.
It didn't happen in 2 minutes, ma'am.
Oh, sure it did. It should have only happened in 2 minutes. You get out, you come over to the car, he says, you know, 1, 2, 3. I've only been hearing this case 5 minutes. And I already heard how busy the parking lot was and how busy you were, all about your financial aid appointments and his class in the afternoon. Look at all the stuff that I gathered in less than 5 minutes. And you're telling me this incident made you late for your financial aid appointment?
Yes, ma'am, because I arrived.
What happened is, you punched his car and got the hell out of there so that you wouldn't get into trouble and came back later. How much later did you come back to school?
I came back within 40 minutes.
For what, Mr. Fowler?
So I can study in the library because I know I didn't do anything wrong, so I go back to the school.
Mr. Fowler, you sound ridiculous.
Judge Judy continues in a moment.
Gotta watch that temper, Mr. Fowler.
27 years old, I was in the military, I don't have a temper.
Yeah, you do.
And later today...
You want other things too, which you're not gonna get, like punitive damages. Everybody wants punitive damages.
Real cases, real people. Judge Judy.
Lucas Torwall claims college schoolmate Brian Fowler dented his car during an argument over a campus parking space.
Okay. Got to watch that temper, Mr. Fowler. Not that I am not sympathetic with your position, but you have to watch the temper.
I don't have a temper, ma'am.
Yeah, you do.
27 years old. I was in the military. I don't have a temper.
If you got out of the car, you have a temper.
I didn't come out of my car right away. And I'm already running late for my appointment. I'm like, is this guy going to, like, just have a stare-off contest with me all day?
Well, if you were already late for your appointment and you weren't going to go for your appointment anyway, what'd you need the parking space for?
Because I needed to study at the library.
But you didn't go to the library. Where did you go?
I went home to cool off, to calm down, to, you know, get a peace of mind because I was really frustrated by him. He assaulted me with his car door. And that was like the biggest thing that upset me.
He assaulted you with the car door. Instead of going home and cooling down, you would have gone to the police.
Well, it wasn't a big deal to me, you know? I mean, I made choices that I shouldn't have. Like, I understand that I shouldn't have came out of my car. I should have probably just let him have the spot because I don't know if he's a dangerous guy myself, you know?
Shh.
You know?
How'd you get the laceration of the right knuckle that the police officer observed?
I was so upset about him trying to steal my parking spot that I was already there for. I mean, it's not my parking spot, but, you know, common courtesy,
just
I was
tell me
there.
How you got this lacerated knuckle.
I punched my car roof.
You remember that now?
Yes.
Well, could you explain to me how the day of the incident, when the police asked you, how did you get the laceration on your knuckle, you told the police officer that you didn't remember?
Well, no.
Now you remember, almost a year later. Now you remember how that happened. But when the police officer said, I'm reading the police officer's statement, Mr. Fowler. Fowler did not have any visible injuries. That would be you, because after the initial report, he asked you to come down to the precinct. And then you said, well, he actually struck me with his car door. During the interview, I noticed a laceration to Fowler's right knuckle. I asked him what happened to the knuckle, and he told me he didn't remember.
Well, at that moment, I was shocked, you know, and nervous that this I'm being interrogated by this police officer for being falsely accused of vandalizing his car. And my mind was clouded. And then when he asked me, you know, what happened to you? Because I was thinking, my mind was clouded. And I looked at my knuckle when he asked me about that. And at the moment, I said, I can't remember at the moment. And then, you know, when my mind was, when I was getting back my recollection of it, I started to remember that I punched my car roof. And I even showed the police officer the car roof. And he took a picture of that car roof. I should have gotten that picture. My car roof was dented. So that was from my car roof. I didn't punch his car. I wouldn't do such a thing.
Who is this lovely young lady?
This lovely young lady is a fellow college student that goes to school with me.
I'm his friend, Your Honor. I've known him for a year. He called me after the incident.
I just want to know if you've witnessed it.
I didn't witness it, no,
good.
But he called
Thank
me
you very much. Judge him for the plaintiff in the amount of $450. Thank you very
Thank you,
much.
Thank you, Your Honor.
Parties are excused. You may step out.
I don't know who he is, but maybe he wanted to use that situation as an opportunity to get me to pay his damages.
You're going to be not a good guy, and you're going to be doing all kinds of damage. You need to pay for it.
He's extremely kind. Like, I've never known him to be any way aggressive, so I don't see how he could at all jump on his roof.
Damage is done. That's just evidence in and of itself.
Next time someone is trying to take my parking spot, be my guest.
And now the next case.
All parties in the matter of Tyler versus Andrade. Step forward.
21-year-old Avery Tyler is suing his ex-roommate, 22-year-old Richard Andrade, for the return of rent, his security deposit, and the money he paid for a parking pass.
Mr. Tyler, you became the defendant's roommate along with several other people. You moved into the apartment, had some sort of a falling out. Mr. Andrade asked you to leave. You did, in fact, leave, and you want your security back and prorated February rent, which you did, in
yes.
fact, pay him. You want other things, too, which you're not going to get, like punitive damages for whatever. Everybody wants punitive damages. Since I don't get any for hearing these cases, I guarantee you, you're not going to get any. Got it?
Yes.
Judge Judy continues in a moment.
He gets a security deposit back. You understand?
Yes. Yes.
Good.
Also, his father threatened me.
I don't care whether he threatened you or not. Who cares about that? He threatened you, go tell your mother.
Real cases, real people. Judge Judy. Avery Tyler says ex-roommate Richard Andrade owes for the return of rent, security deposit, and the cost of a parking pass. Richard claims Avery was rude to the other roommates, so he was forced to kick him out.
Okay, you moved in with the defendant in what month and year, sir?
February 2010.
What date?
I believe the actual move-in was November 28th. I stayed until February 2nd.
So you were there December?
Yes.
You paid your rent?
Yes.
Whole month of January, you paid your rent?
Yes.
And you paid your rent on the 1st of February?
Yes.
So far, correct, Mr. Andrade?
Yes. Yes, Your Honor.
Good. And when Mr. Tyler moved in, Mr. Andrade, how much of a security deposit did he give you?
$250, Your Honor.
And did you have a formal written agreement with him, or was it a verbal agreement?
Verbal agreement, Your Honor.
How much was his rent, Mr. Andrade?
$318.
How many people lived in the home?
Four of us.
How many bedrooms?
It was a two-bedroom, one loft and then a bedroom.
Who stayed in the bedroom?
My other roommates, Your Honor. We stayed in the same room together in the loft, and then my other roommates in the lower bedroom.
Okay. When did you tell him to leave, Mr. Andrade?
I told him to leave at the beginning of February.
Why?
Because it wasn't working out. He was very inappropriate to our roommates with his homophobic comments and other things like that. The fact that I let him stay there that long was actually doing him a favor because we had problems with him in the very beginning.
Did you give him a notice?
No, I talked to him verbally, and he actually agreed. It wasn't me telling him to leave.
But you told him you wanted him to leave after he had paid you February's rent?
Yes, Your Honor.
Now you're going to explain to me why, Mr. Andre, let's not talk about February's rent for the moment. Let's talk about Mr. Tyler's security deposit. He gave you a $250 security deposit, which you did not return. You're going to explain to me in 60 seconds or less why.
Okay. His father, I was under the understanding of you pay a security deposit because if anything gets vandalized, if any violence happens or anything occurs, then you don't get that security deposit back.
All right. Well, I don't know where you went to law school, sir, but unless you're telling me that Mr. Tyler vandalized the property that you have to repair, he gets a security deposit back. Do you understand?
Yes. Yes.
Good. That's $250. So that, for certain, he gets back.
Also, his father threatened me.
I don't care whether he threatened you or not. Who cares about that? He threatened you. Go tell your mother. After he paid his rent in February, you told him that you wanted him to leave. On what date did he move out?
He moved out the 3rd or the 4th, I believe.
On what date did you tell him that you wanted him out?
The end of the month. He had 30 days.
No. On what date in February?
The 1st, Your Honor.
You mean after he had paid you his rent?
Yes, correct.
Did he pay you in rent in check or cash?
Check.
So was what you're telling me that he gave you a check on February 1st. Before you deposited the check, you told him you wanted him out?
No, Your Honor.
So first you deposited the check?
Correct.
Then you told him you wanted him out?
I gave him 30 days, yes.
Then you told him you wanted him out?
Correct, Your Honor.
Good. Yes. You also owe him $318 for February's rent. Anything else you want, sir?
Your Honor, I have plenty of receipts for all the checks that I've written out to him,
Listen to me carefully, sir. You were suing for your security deposit, which
yes.
I gave you.
And for my...
And for your February's rent. You wanted prorated for the time you were there. I'm giving you the whole February's rent back.
Thank you.
What else do you want?
I would like reimbursement for my Cal State Fullerton parking pass.
That you don't get.
Judge Judy continues in a moment. Want justice? Go to judgejudy.com or call 1-888-800-JUDY.
Now, Mr. Tyler, he played slippery with you by taking your check and then telling you wanted you out. Aside from everything else, you moved somebody in, and you had somebody there to take his place immediately.
Your Honor, he had his boxes in there.
Now, listen to me. If your friend, your new roommate, had his boxes in there, he had his behind in there. You can't do that, sir. Now, do you understand?
No, because it's just a friend storing boxes in the living room.
Then I'm going to explain it to you. Did you have the plaintiff's consent to store your friend's boxes?
No, I did not.
Then you can't do it. He's a tenant, just like you are.
Even if the boxes aren't in the room?
Where they are, sir. Okay. You have four people sharing space, and if you want to allow somebody else to use it as a storage facility, you have to get the consent of all of your other roommates, including him. And you didn't get his consent. Now, do you understand?
I understand.
Perfect. Yeah. $568. Thank you very much. Okay. That's all.
Please excuse me. Step out.
Judge Judy continues in a moment. And on the next Judge Judy.
He would say homophobic comments to my roommates.
I am not homophobic. There are plenty of gay people in my fraternity. I'm best friends with a lot of them.
Make everyone feel uncomfortable that was in the apartment, no matter what, even our friends.
He got offended, misinterpreted. I apologized.
I told him I didn't need to hear his comments about anything. I mean, multiple times, but he just insisted.
He said that I made multiple comments. I made one comment, and it wasn't even a homophobic comment.
In the beginning of the first month, no one liked him. He was rude to everyone.
They totally misinterpreted what I said, and that was the only comment I ever made.
He was very antisocial and very very rude.
As far as being rude and being antisocial, I'm a student. My parents paid for me to be there, to go to school full time, and that's what I did.
He seemed like a good guy, and then once he moved in, it was just like a complete disaster.
They engage in character assassination to make their little egos seem bigger than they really are.
I think it's just completely ridiculous.
He's a supercilious fool.
He said he was gonna F me up over the phone.
Only after he made remarks about my son.
And then actually recently when I just saw him, he said he's gonna kick my...
I would do that to anybody that makes remarks about my son in my presence.